Hello, pals o' mine. Well, another year bites the dust, and on to the next. This from Paula Poundstone. I wish you could push a button and stop time. Some asshole would abuse it, though, and we'd just be stuck on Tuesday for a really long time. Resolutions are being made left and right to break bad habits. Food, smoking, drinking, bad relationships. But for some, it's pursuing something they've been talking about and are now going to do something about. Something that makes them happy. John F. Kennedy said, "Change is the law of life. And those who only look to the past or present are certain to miss the future." Is your New Year's resolution to make dramatic changes in lifestyle? A couple of friends of mine have resolved to see as much of America as they can. This requires some downsizing. They'll be converting their garage into a studio where they will live while renting out the main house, and they'll be converting a Dodge Sprinter into a home on wheels for traveling. Now, if you think that living in a small space may be challenging for you, keep in mind that these are people who love backpacking. Tents, small spaces. So this will not be that much of a challenge for them. And realize that they aren't going to be spending 24/7 in this home on wheels Dodge Sprinter. It's a great outdoors, people. Hikes, lounging around by the fire. Fabulous. Anyway, maybe if you followed their blogged adventures, it will be a catalyst to follow your dreams. smallspaceadventure.blogspot.com. I want to address these claims that newspapers and magazines will be history within 5 years. I don't buy it. Yes, they're going digital, but they can't offer what hard print can. And for those of you who say, well, yes, older people like hard print, but younger people are more hip and savvy. Well, I got news for you. The publisher Dwell has said their growth in magazine subscriptions is now from those younger than 30. I was curious about the small community newspapers still thriving versus the larger papers that have been having to downsize. The town of Winters has a population of less than 7,000. So I spoke to Deborah D'Angelo, who's the editor of the Winters Express, about the small paper continuing appeal. How old is the Winters Express now?
It's over 130 years.
Wow.
I think.
Give or take a
30 or so.
And your oldest employee is?
Newton Wallace, the oldest paper boy in the world, because the oldest paper boy in the world with the official title just quit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that was rude.
Newt is 94, still delivering the papers, and he is the world's oldest paper boy.
How long has he been with the Winters? Is that?
Since 1946, I believe.
Oh, so just after the war ended then.
Mm-hmm. He came out and bought the paper. He was an extra paper boy in the Midwest, came out here. Cool. Bought this little newspaper. They made a documentary about him. The U.S. government official documentary that's also posted on YouTube just this month. And He printed it on the old-fashioned press.
So he was the original owner of the Winters Express? Not just
No,
the
he wasn't
one.
The original. Okay. The first one was Hemingway.
Of course not. God, Julie. That's
Rust.
Math was not my best subject. Okay. So he came and bought it after the war?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Raised his sons. Now his son is the publisher. And I came on in 1992.
And how did that come about?
I wanted to be a screenwriter.
Okay. Easy segue.
I was a social worker, and I wanted to be a screenwriter. That's what I studied. And I thought, well, it's writing. It's getting money for it. Maybe it's at least a step in that direction, but it was a step into a dead end.
So you don't care for writing a small paper?
No, I do. It's been fun. It's not. I have to have a second job in order to afford to have that job.
Well, that's what I was curious about, is so many papers are closing up, big city papers, but somehow the Express is doing okay.
The Express is doing okay. The smaller the paper, the better they're doing, because they can get those local stories of the brownie selling their cookies, or who was just born, or who was the prom queen, and all of those local things that matter to people in a small town can't be found online. So the small papers have a corner on that market. And once they figure out how to digitize all of that, then we may slowly fade into the sunset with typewriters and cassette tapes.
So what is your personal take on palpable, handheld versus online? Or do you think both can live side by side?
They complement each other. I mean, we use Facebook all the time. Being a weekly paper, if we have breaking news, social media is the way to get things out quickly. But if people want to read things thoroughly and accurately and well-researched, I still think print journalism is the best, because you have editorial filters that go into that writing versus things online that anybody can declare themselves a writer and just start throwing things together. There's no accountability to any of it. And you can't really get the same feeling holding your iPad with your cup of coffee as with a newspaper. There's not the rattle of the paper and the feel and the romance of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any big stories that kind of threw you off your routine, kind of got your head spinning?
Well, we had recently a murder, the first one in 100 years, and it happened to happen on our front doorstep, and it was very awful. So that was unusual for us. The week before, I had made a 3-page story all about paella, and I thought, wow, 3 pages about rice. And the very next week, we had this tragedy, and it was a shock. And suddenly I realized the value in having 3 pages about rice in the paper. It was a happier time, and this a sudden jolt into the real world. So even in little winters, bad things can happen.
So what kind of interaction do you have from a small community with their paper? I mean, obviously your letters to the editor, they might be a little different or not from big city.
Oh, we get letters to the editor. A lot of times when people decide to criticize you, they'll just call you a jackass to your face and tell you you should get a different job, and they're too lazy to write letters. But we do get letters. It still matters to people. That's the place everyone looks first, is the letters and the police report. Because you want to see if you see any names in the letters
you
or
recognize.
The police report.
Where would you like to see it, say, 20 years from now? If it was going to go digital, is there a layout that you've seen with other papers that seem more personal, not so? Because a lot of papers, they just have kind of a disconnect look to them.
The Davis Enterprise does a real good job of a community newspaper website. It's interactive. It has all of its columns. It has local news. It's well written. And it also has editorial control by the same people that run the print newspaper. So you're still getting a high quality piece of work, even though it's not on paper. And it's a fairly easy website to use, which is everything. You have to have the page loading and the connections and links working. Otherwise, you know, if 3 seconds of stalling and your readers will go somewhere else. That's another advantage of a newspaper over online. It never goes down. It never crashes.
I tell people that. It doesn't require a device.
No.
Now, do you just have staff reporters, or do you accept stories from the locals once in a while?
We take anything people write for free if it has to do with winters.
Free is good.
Free is good. We do have reporters. We have people with specific beats. But if people want to write about their kids' soccer team performance, or they want to write about the school play, we'll take it, because the more interaction with the community, the more encouragement, the more names and faces people see in the paper, the more it becomes their paper, and they feel a sense of ownership about it versus just clicking on a website where there's no ownership at all.
So what would you say to some of these people that think they don't want to waste their time on a small paper, they just want to go straight to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times?
Well, you can go to the Wall Street Journal, but you will never find the level of Lake Berryessa anywhere but in the Winter's Express.
So there.
So there.
Well, as a writer, are there any tips that you want to tell people that would like to write for newspapers? Because there is a certain format and feel to it. Any little tricks of the trade? Or
the main thing I would say is read a lot of newspapers. The feel of a newspaper story is not like a college paper. It has a particular flow and a particular tightness and a particular, frugalness with words and space, because space equals money in a newspaper. And most newspapers follow AP format, which can be pretty foreign to people that are used to a college essay type format. A lot of things are different. And if editor sees you already know AP format, that makes their little editorial hearts happy.
It's so funny, the AP versus Chicago. You know, this debate.
The what?
Chicago.
The what? No, no, anything.
Your Honor, I rest my case. What would you like to see more small community papers have that they aren't now that you think would be a great benefit to them?
I would say use social media in a way that brings people back to print. An example is we recently had a big deep freeze in winter, so we went on Facebook and said, send us the pictures of your frozen trees and your frozen stuff, and it started pouring in. Last week I said, send us your pictures in ugly Christmas sweaters, and things started coming in. People still like seeing it in print more than they like seeing it online. There's something special about cutting it out and putting it on the fridge, putting it in a box and saving it. You can't do that with anything that's digital.
Just not the same.
No.
So any...
And besides, magnets on the fridge are bad for your iPad.
FYI. So any up-and-coming news reporters, would you have any pearls of wisdom to pass on from your experience, years of experience, that you've learned the hard way?
If at all possible, become orthodontists. If that's not possible...
Door number two.
I would say aim for magazine journalism. Actually, online journalism is the future of the industry. There's a romance to things as they are now, but for someone who's young, yeah, you'll get great writing experience starting in a print newspaper, but you have to aim higher than that if you ever hope to have any type of financial fluidity. Someday you may want to be able to buy pizza without having to think about if you can afford it first, and that's where you end up.
It's with everything on it or just cheese. That's what it comes down to.
Maybe. And maybe you hope the check doesn't bounce. People still use checks.
That's right. And by the way, not everyone is threatened by Google, Yahoo, and other large media. The Orange County Register recently announced plans to begin publishing a daily newspaper in Los Angeles early this year, and it will be called the Los Angeles Register. It's already launched papers in Riverside County and Long Beach. And Freedom Communications is expanding and focusing on print. Remember when everyone was saying that vinyl would be extinct? Oh, and I love used bookstores. It's a literary treasure expedition. You never know what you're going to find. And you know, those store owners aren't making a lot of money. They're in it for the unconditional love for books. I agree with Patton Oswalt, who said, if you haggle in a used bookstore, you are fundamentally evil. I wanted to end this with a few New Year wishes from author Neil Gaiman. May your coming year be filled with magic and dreams and good madness. I hope you read some fine books and kiss someone who thinks you're wonderful. And don't forget to make some art. Write or draw or build or sing or live as only you can. And I hope somewhere in the next year you surprise yourself. I hope you will have a wonderful year, that you'll dream dangerously and outrageously, that you'll make something that didn't exist before you made it, that you will be loved and that you will be liked, and that you will have people to love and to like in return. And most importantly, because I think there should be more kindness and more wisdom in the world right now, that you will, when you need to be wise, and that you will always be kind. I hope that in this year to come, you make mistakes, because if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing yourself, changing your world. You're doing things you've never done before. And more importantly, you're doing something. So that's my wish for you and all of us, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze. Don't stop. Don't worry that it isn't good enough or it isn't perfect. Whatever it is, art or love or work or family or life, whatever it is you're scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes next year and forever. So do something different. If you're planning a landscape, redesign, or from scratch, consider a moon garden. Plants that are white, silvery, and gray will catch moonlight.